This is Radio Hangar. I'm Pattern, and let me start with a question. How low can you legally fly? If you answered 1,000 feet above the highest obstacle, you might be right. You might also be completely wrong. Because the answer depends on where you are, what is below you, and whether anybody is down there at all. And that is exactly why this regulation trips up so many students, and honestly, more than a few certificated pilots too. Let's walk through this together. The regulation is Federal Aviation Regulation 91.119, Minimum Safe Altitudes, and it is one of those rules that sounds simple until you actually read it. Then you realize there are three different standards stacked on top of each other, and each one applies in a different situation. Before we get into it, shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot? Instrument? Commercial? They've got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter, aviationsoul.com. All right, let's break this regulation into its three pieces, because that is exactly how it is written and exactly how the examiner is going to ask you about it. Piece number one is the general rule, paragraph A. This one applies everywhere, all the time, no exceptions. You cannot operate an aircraft at an altitude that would prevent you from making an emergency landing without undue hazard to persons or property on the surface if you lose your engine. That is the baseline. It does not give you a number, it gives you a standard, and that standard is judgment. Can you right now, at this altitude, put this airplane somewhere safe if the engine quits? If the answer is no, you are too low. Period. Here is something I wish someone told me when I was training. That paragraph A standard never goes away. It sits underneath paragraphs B and C like a foundation. Even if you meet the specific altitude numbers we are about to talk about, if you cannot make a safe emergency landing from that altitude, you are violating the regulation. The numbers are minimums, not guarantees. Piece number two is paragraph B, and this is the one that covers congested areas. Over any congested area of a city, town, or settlement, or over any open-air assembly of persons, you need to be at least 1,000 feet above the highest obstacle within a horizontal radius of 2,000 feet of the aircraft. Let me say that again because it matters. 1,000 feet above the highest obstacle, and you measure that obstacle within 2,000 feet horizontally in every direction from your airplane. So, picture this. You are flying over a small town. There's a radio tower on the edge of town that sticks up 300 feet above the ground. Your minimum altitude is not 1,000 feet above the ground. It is 1,000 feet above the top of that tower, as long as that tower is within 2,000 feet of your flight path. That is a big difference. And those towers are not always on your sectional chart, especially the ones under 200 feet. Now, here's where students get confused. What counts as a congested area? The Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, does not give you a neat definition with a population threshold or a square mileage cutoff. The guidance says it depends on the facts and circumstances. A neighborhood with houses close together? Congested. A shopping center parking lot on a Saturday? Probably congested. A rural farmstead with one house and a barn? Probably not. But a county fair on that same farmstead with 500 people in a field? Now it is an open-air assembly, and you're right back to the 1,000-foot rule. The examiner is looking for you to understand that congested is not just downtown Manhattan, it is anywhere people are concentrated enough that an emergency landing would create an undue hazard to them. Use your judgment, and when in doubt, climb. Piece number three is paragraph C. This covers everywhere else. Areas other than congested. Out over open country, farmland, desert, forest, water. Here, the rule drops to 500 feet above the surface, but there is a catch. You also cannot fly closer than 500 feet to any person, vessel, vehicle, or structure. So you're not just maintaining 500 feet above the ground, you're maintaining 500 feet from anything down there. A boat on a lake, a car on a highway, a barn in a field, a person standing in a clearing. 500 feet from all of it. And this is where I see students get casual, especially on cross countries over rural areas. They will descend to 800 feet above the ground because there is nothing out here, and technically they are above 500 feet. But there is a farmhouse a quarter mile off the nose, and they are going to pass within 300 feet of it laterally. That is a violation. The 500-foot bubble is not just vertical. It wraps around you in every direction from any person, vessel, vehicle, or structure. Now let me give you the exception that most people forget exists. It is right there in paragraph C over open water or sparsely populated areas. The aircraft may not be operated closer than 500 feet to any person, vessel, vehicle, or structure, but the altitude floor itself. The regulation says you just cannot go below 500 feet. However, there is a subtle detail here. Over sparsely populated areas where there are no people, vessels, vehicles, or structures nearby, the practical floor is the surface, because the 500-foot rule only references those objects. But paragraph A still applies. You still need to be high enough to execute a safe emergency landing. So even if you're legal at 200 feet over an empty Kansas wheat field, if you cannot put it down safely from that altitude with reaction time and maneuvering, you are violating the general rule. Let me give you a real scenario that ties this together, because this is the kind of thing that shows up on oral exams and in real flying. You are on a cross-country flight. You depart from a towered airport in a Class Delta airspace, and you're heading west. First 10 miles, you're over suburban neighborhoods that is congested. You need 1,000 feet above the highest obstacle within 2,000 feet. There is a water tower on the edge of town that tops out at 150 feet above ground level. Your minimum altitude over that area is at least 1,150 feet above the ground. But realistically, you should be higher because there could be antennas or structures you do not see. Then the suburbs fade and you're over farmland. Scattered houses every half mile or so. This is where it gets gray. Is this congested? Probably not. So now you shift to the 500-foot rule, but you are still maintaining 500 feet from those farmhouses as you pass them. Then you are over genuine open terrain. No structures for miles. Your altitude floor drops, but you are smart enough to stay at a reasonable altitude because paragraph A is always in effect, and you want enough altitude to find a landing spot if the engine decides to take the day off. Then you approach your destination, another small town with a non-towered airport. The town is congested again, back to 1,000 feet above the highest obstacle within 2,000 feet, at least until you're in the traffic pattern for the airport, and that brings up another important exception. These minimum altitude rules do not apply when you are taking off or landing. The regulation specifically says that you're not violating 91.119 when you're on a normal approach to land, even though you are descending below those minimums near a congested area, but the key word is normal. If you are doing a low pass over the town for fun and then heading to the airport, that is not a normal approach. There is one more scenario I want to put in your head because it is practical and it comes up more than you think. Helicopters. If you are a fixed-wing pilot, you should know that helicopters have a different rule under paragraph D. They can operate below the minimums in paragraphs B and C as long as they comply with any routes or altitudes specifically prescribed by the FAA. So, when you see a helicopter at 200 feet over the highway, they might be perfectly legal. Do not assume everyone follows the same altitude rules you do. For your check ride, here is what you need to know cold. Three paragraphs, three standards. Paragraph A is the general rule. Emergency landing capability applies everywhere, all the time. Paragraph B is congested areas, 1,000 feet above the highest obstacle within 2,000 feet horizontally. Paragraph C is other than congested, 500 feet from any person, vessel, vehicle, or structure. Know that the exception for takeoff and landing exists, and understand that congested is a judgment call, not a bright line. The airman certification standards will test this under the regulations in airspace knowledge areas. The examiner will likely give you a scenario and ask what your minimum altitude is. Do not just throw out a number, walk through the analysis. Where are you? What is below you? Is it congested? What obstacles are nearby? That thought process is what earns you a satisfactory. Here is a practical takeaway you can use on your very next flight. Before you descend below 2,000 feet above the ground for any reason other than landing, ask yourself three questions. What is below me? What is the highest thing near me? And can I land safely from here if the engine quits right now? If you can answer all three, you are probably legal and definitely safe. If you cannot answer even one of them, climb. That is 91.119. It is not complicated once you see the structure, but it has teeth if you get lazy about it. Most of what we talked through today comes straight from Title 14 of the Code of Federal Regulations and the FAA's own guidance on minimum safe altitudes. If you want to dig deeper, the full regulation is short enough to read in 2 minutes, and it is worth reading more than once. Check out more at radiohanger.com. Fly safe out there and keep that altitude honest.